What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but a merry heart does make like medicine. Woohoo! The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. When the media has an agenda and loses its objectivity, it's called propaganda. Pretty simple. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I hope that God has given me and all of us a show so that we can be a blessing to one another. That's what I'm hoping for. And then also Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. If you have ever listened to this show, you know that's true. We have no idea what's going to happen. We don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, going through that process. So we know that we're supposed to be thankful. We know that. But what's something that we've kind of dropped the ball on in regards to giving God our appreciation for? What's something that, like, the Lord's done, been, you know, working on you? Could be salvation, could be just appreciation that he spends the time with you, that he's always committed to you, that he never abandons you, whatever it is. Well, anything you're dropping the ball on, and that's not to be mean, that's to encourage you to pick the ball back up and put it right back in the hoop. That's what you gotta do. Does that make sense? Of course. So here it is. What we want to know is, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. Why? Because that's sad. Just give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call, oh boy, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D, well, you know what? That's when you know you're talking to a brother who has a loving heart.
That is correct, Dave.
Praying for you guys all the time. Praying for me. Praying for everybody around. Got the heart of a champion seeking the face of God. Isn't that great? Or what? Good job, buddy. And I'll take my 20 in ones.
I was thinking that. Hopefully the inflation doesn't impact that.
Yeah, it's definitely going to impact that. Okay, anyway, you can also text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Now we're going to do kind of a different voice here, so just hang in there. 214-210-8483.
What was that?
That was an operator. Gotta have fun. All right, other thing you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at HeMustIncrease.org. Not actually two ats. I'm just saying that there. Send you up to the website as we often and always do. Don't forget there are website updates on a pretty regular basis. Additionally, still on the website for probably another week or so will be, or maybe longer, there'll be the opportunity to head to speak last Sunday. It is up on the front page of the website, so you can get a chance to just check it out if you want to. So it's not that big a deal. Also, don't forget the apps and all of the ambassador stuff that's free for you. And then right in there is always this little red box somewhere on the site, and it says, please, sir, I would like some more. Anyway, so if you're able to give, that's great. If you can't, pray. If you can't give to us, pray for us and ask the Lord to open up the avenues. That's what we're asking for. Please check it all out on HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report? HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
I just want to say I hope we get to watch some Star Wars 3D this weekend, now that that just happened.
A little Star Wars action.
Yeah, there you go. I did watch, by the way, I'm telling Dynamite D this, The War Room the other day with Noel. We kind of, it's been a long time, so we kind of reviewed it. So we're working on that because he's got somebody he wants us to, that's connected to it, that he wants us to interview. So we're working on that plus some other interviews. And I'm going to be watching a few other movies that people have suggested because I like doing that. I think it's kind of fun. And if you can get something that you can watch and it can help you or strengthen you or bless you or encourage you, that is good. Good, right? Especially in the way that society is. It's like anything that you can touch that's going to be like encouraging your faith. Like, okay.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah. As it gets weirder and weirder. So as we're going to see in this text that we're about to get into, though I'm only going to jump on it for a little while, I do want to let people know we are going to be adding another book in soon. So if you haven't figured out, we're close to the end on Hebrews. We're close to the end on another book or two. So really, you guys need to be praying for me. And then I had a good talk with Rob, who's one of my best friends since 91. Is that a long time? That's a long time.
Wow, Dave, 91. The year I was born.
Yeah. Is that the year you were born?
It was.
Anyway, so we were talking, and I said, I've been going through a little warfare. I had some speaking engagements. He goes, that's so weird. He goes, I've been going through warfare this last month. I'm like, we're not doing a good enough job staying in contact and praying for each other regarding protections and wisdoms and so on. When you're praying for one another, and I really passionately want you to do that for one another, that is a good target area right there.
Count me in with you too, Dave.
Okay.
This month, for sure.
I mean, this is just, I haven't even told everyone. Next week, I'll tell you all the things, the three things that happened three days before I spoke. But it's okay. It's all right. We're just moving through. But we need to be praying for one another, cover one another, protect one another. And that's a big deal for all of us, okay? So love one another, do the things the Lord's called us to do. Let's get into Hebrews chapter 12. We are at a very interesting point. And many of you will identify with the last portion of this, but I do want to talk about the first portion, and that's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. So we're going to be Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. So 12. There. Okay, here's what it says. Therefore, strengthen your tired hands and weakened knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed instead. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. So I want to talk about this Hebrews 12:12 to understand something real quickly. Strengthening our tired hands and our weak knees and making straight paths for our feet so that what is weak might not be dislocated and healed. This verse presents a very thought-provoking concept. Although certain aspects of our Christian walk and even our physical walk may be lacking strength, it is crucial to strengthen what we do have and not let them be completely ignored or let it become useless. So, what that means from a spiritual application point of view is if you have some disciplines that you've done in the past in reading and prayer and fellowship and so on and so forth, and you've done it kind of a little bit and it's kind of a little bit weak, don't let that just fall off the wayside. Strengthen it. And put yourself into it and give it some of that commitment in that time. Because the truth is, our pursuit is focused on healing and strengthening in some of these areas, but also yielding them up unto the Lord and saying, look, we're going to do the best we can to strengthen, but I can only do the best I can. The rest of it, I lay before your feet. Please strengthen that which I'm kind of weak in. And you might not even know, and I don't know if you guys do this. I do this, but this isn't like a super spiritual thing, so don't get that super spiritual weird thing going. But every once in a while, I do that inventory. And so the inventory for me is, I don't think of it the way that a lot of people do. I think of it as Star Trek.
Sorry, go figure.
Yeah. So what happens is when another ship comes across to another ship, they do what they call as a scan. And the scan is like, it kind of tells them all about the people, everything that's going on, their histories and everything like that. So when I pray the Lord, I ask him, I say, scan me. I just scan me. I know there's stuff in me that's not. I know there's some stuff I'm doing okay in. There's some stuff I could be doing better in. But there's some things I might not even be aware of. In fact, there's passages that talk about sins that we're ignorant of. And it's like, nah, I don't know. So if I don't know, help me see it. So I want to get it. So do a scan. So whatever is in me that is somewhat weak, somewhat dislocated, needs some healing. It's like sometimes I'm not sure. And that's in prayer. And trust me, I would much rather have you be more reverent than I am in prayer. Just trust me on that one. But what I'm trying to say is be honest. Don't change that part. Just like, okay, help, right? So, you know, it's like you need the help. Ask God to help. He's willing to do it. I mean, he's willing to help you. He's willing to – can you imagine if you said to the Lord, I'm trying to do better, and I'd like you to help me out. And God went, nah, I'm just not going to. What? That ain't happening, right? I mean, that's not happening. Okay, so I'm just making sure you get that. Now, before I jettison out, I'm going to do this little bit, and then we'll kind of come back into it. So this is kind of a halfway thing. So therefore, strengthen your tired hands and weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated but healed instead. Verse 14, pursue peace with everyone and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Make sure none of you fall short of the grace of God. So let's just do the pursuit peace for just a split second, and then we'll come back into the rest of it. We're supposed to pursue peace. There are a lot of people, even in our faith, that call upon the name of the Lord sincerely that are pursuing war. It's like that. You're advancing the kingdom of God, but you're advancing the kingdom of God not to displace your fellow man, but to open the opportunity for them to be a part of that kingdom. And so there's this mindset, and I'll just take you right back to Sermon on the Mount. I don't have to go very far. There's peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, what we will do when we come back is talk about what peacemakers are not. We'll get into that. But let's at least keep aware that while we're in spiritual warfare, that spiritual warfare is very, wait, get ready for it, spiritual. So we don't fight our wars with weapons of carnal man. That's not what we do. That's not what it's a spiritual war. I mean, if you at least look at Ephesians 6, you know, 10 through 18, you get to figure out there's no six shooter in there. Okay. There's the word of God, there is prayer, there is hope, there is faith, right? There's the gospel, but it's not the other stuff. So we got to pull that back just a little bit there. Stop being so angry and be so aware that most of those people are really deep down putting on a great front and they're hurting deeply and they need somebody to love them. So maybe it's you and me. I don't know. Well, could be. I will take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand this.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
You're here when I need you the most.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Getting ready for our first trivia question. I have very high levels of confidence in our audience for these trivia questions. Here is question number one. Moses was hidden in the bulrushes. In what river was he hidden? What was the river? What was the river that Mo was in? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So those are all there. Which river there in Egypt? So we do have somebody that's ready to do that. So what I want to make sure is that you get the chance. And here's the thing. The thing is, when you hear a question and you know it, and you're trying to guess for it, go for it. If you're wrong, don't go, oh. Go, okay, that's something I'm going to process. Use the trivia to draw closer in to the truth and to what the word has to say. Okay, let's send them on through. Let's do it. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Shabbat Shalom, brother.
Shabbat Shalom. Shalom, brother. Can you turn your radio down? I'm getting the echo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to remember that echo thing. That's okay. You just, you know, but your voice is fantastic, but I can't hear it three times. Well, all right. You ready, bro? You ready to do this?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here we go. Moses was hidden in the bulrushes in what river?
Mississippi. no. Sorry. I was wrong. It's Nile.
It's the Nile River. That is correct. The Mississippi. How do you spell Mississippi with one eye? You close one eye and then spell it. That's how you do it.
Well, sorry. It's supposed to be start with N, and I started in a hurry with M. Doctor, I have a question for you.
Okay.
In the parable, like where Jesus mentioned a merchant went and he find the pearl and he bought it. He sold everything and he bought it. And then along the same line, he illustrated another parable that, hey, there was a person who find a treasure. Then he went back and he sold everything and he bought that land. So who's that person and who's that merchant?
Well, see, that's all of us. See, that's everybody who's pursuing the kingdom, who comes across and learns, understands, or grasps by the grace of God that what the kingdom is in front of them is worth more than anything else they've ever done to that point. There's that. That's one of the biggest parts of the parables is the entire. So it's not Jesus isn't identifying any particular one set of person. It's when you got a merchant, you got somebody that's really into the business realm. You got somebody who's comes across something valuable, recognizes its great treasure. All of those parables about the kingdom are pointing to the value of the kingdom. All connected to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else shall be granted unto you. So it's not really singling anybody out as much as covering the angles of all people walking in different ways in the framework of coming across the great things of God and how important it is. You should be willing, and I should be willing, to give up everything and anything in order to get that, because there's nothing more important than that.
All right. Well, thank you so very much.
All right, brother. God bless you.
God bless, and Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom. Bye-bye. Excellent job. Samson's such a great brother. Great brother. All right, now, we got the trivia done. We're going to do the DNA after because I have to do this teaching because it's really helpful. That's kind of a weird way to say that. All right, go back, please, to Hebrews chapter 12, and the verse 14. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God. So let me just explain before everybody goes, see, you can fall away from grace. Actually, that's not what it says. What this says is you walked away from grace. See, do we know the difference here? Here's the difference. The difference is, number one, grace is granted and you receive it. Right? You don't then continue to sustain it by what you do, since that's not how you got it in the first place. You have to continually receive it. And so this idea of falling short of the grace of God in this particular text, we've already covered the Hebrews 6 text, but this is in this in Hebrews 12, 14, and 15. This has to do with people that they start with the grace of God, they don't sustain in the grace of God, which, by the way, the scripture says grow in the grace of God. And it's like, how do you grow? It's your growth, not his. He's given you all the grace you'll ever need, but you need to keep pushing in and learning and growing and understanding it. And so when you're falling short of the grace of God, it means that you're missing the transfer, or you're missing the reception that God is trying to give you. And when you fall short of it, just like the children of Israel did, you reject God and you start doing things on your own, and then you become rebellious. And it's like, don't do that. And the scripture's not spending 2 seconds on soteriology. It's not talking about eternity and insecurity at the same time. It's saying, hey, you know what? Will you stop this stuff where you're trying to make it happen on your own? You got to be at peace with everybody and make sure you don't fall short of the grace of God, because without the grace of God, you're going to fall short. So operate in the grace of God. And now I want to back it up to that pursuit peace, because this becomes an issue that you got to think about. The pursuit of peace with everyone's encouraged, but it doesn't involve compromising the truth. Now, unfortunately, most modern applications of scripture fall short in this. I mean, they don't hit it. There's this pursuit of peace, but there's also a pursuit of holiness, and the two are connected. That's why they're right next to each other. You see what I'm saying? It's like, okay, pursue peace with everyone and holiness, without which no one see the Lord. And make sure no one falls short of the grace of God. So it's connecting how these things work together. And the aim should be to pursue peace, but we should also strive to walk in the Lord's ways, to walk in his examples that he's set before us, to walk in his power, to walk in his anointing. But you don't pursue peace at the expense of holiness. In other words, you don't say to the world, well, you like all these really different kind of things, the transgender this and that, whatever. You know what? I don't want to argue with you. We'll just accept you the way you are. Wrong answer. That's just a wrong answer. It doesn't matter. Oh, that's so mean. Wrong answer. It's like, you don't have to say it mean. It's like, look, this is the truth. This is where I'm standing. You know, when we take a position in faith, there's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right with that. But we don't always have to be a jerk about it. I mean, that's really the biggest part about that. It's like, look, this is what the scripture teaches, and I'm not going to allow somebody to say God doesn't know how to create. I just don't believe that. And they go, well, then I can't hang out with you. Okay. It's like, so what else can you do? But you don't go, well, I don't want to hang out with you because you're just, you know, like, that's not the Christian attitude. The Christian's supposed to be pursuing the peace.
And if they can't figure that out, it's like, look, here's how the Lord set these things up. This is what we need to do. And so that mindset, you know, kind of intertwines. And why I'm trying to bring that all up is because in our lives, what we want to do is we want to live at peace with everybody, but not to the point where you take your Christianity and water it down with a squirt gun every other hour. Look, you have a faith. And if they love you and you love them, you try and, you know, get where you can, but you're not going to take what's true, what's holy, what's right, and throw it away. So you're not doing one at the expense of others. So when the church tries to operate and placate the world so that the world will accept the church, not believe, just accept them, that's a problem. Okay? Again, not asking anybody to be mean or mean-spirited or rude, but stay true to the faith. Stay in the reception mode of receiving the grace of God. Pursue peace. In fact, the scripture says, as much as lieth in you, walk peaceably with all men. Some people, it just does not lie within them for the two to walk together. And the Bible says if two do not agree, how can they walk together? So there's, you know, there's just wisdom in this process. You don't give up on the truth. You don't water down the truth. But you do your best to pursue the peace. But remember, the real peace is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And that's what you want to be communicating more than anything else. Okay, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know, a little
Telling
bit
me the
of,
show's all about you.
Well, this segment is.
Okay.
I'm not about the show. But I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in Scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where did that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to, like, relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's a, kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.